Hey, everybody, on today's show, it's stimulus week in America and in Washington, and Congress has quite a big mess on its hands. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty details on stimulus week. Hey, Congress is finally back from their three-week vacation. They really deserved it. They really deserved some time off, didn't they? Unemployment benefits are being eliminated in just about every Republican state. Some are saying, wait, this is way too fast, and there's a lot of people that rely on those unemployment benefits. I don't know if you know about that. We'll get into those details this morning. And we're going to be looking ahead at inflation as the Federal Reserve is set to meet tomorrow. Are they actually going to start tackling this inflation problem as the cost of things continues to go up? And is commuting to work actually good for you? Could it actually ward off depression? Yeah, a new study says that that's the case. Let me know in the comments if you like commuting. Morning Invest starts right now on this Monday morning. Top of the morning to you. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome into Morning Invest. We're live right here every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time, bringing you the news that actually matters to you and your life. David's in the control booth. Philip's in the control booth also. Grover just made his bed and is all ready for the show today. So David's on standby. I guess he got to this fancy new internet setup, and then now it's already kind of crap in the bed, isn't it?
Well, but it's not the fault of the internet. It's my fault because I tried to configure the network with three services coming in, and I guess it's a little bit out of my element. I'm admitting defeat.
Right. So, yeah, and David will get mad at me like over the weekend. Says, hey, don't do this over the weekend. You know, don't mess with this. Just like focus on this over the weekend. And so my thing to him is stop messing with your studio over the weekend. Stop monkeying with it because you're going to break it.
I've been telling him that for about 6 or 7 years now. Stop messing with things.
Stop monkeying with it. Yeah. So welcome in on this Monday morning. We've got a jam-packed show for you. By the way, we have a daily newsletter that we publish every morning. If you want to be more informed, learn something new every morning, you should join our daily newsletter, which is sent by email right to your inbox first thing in the morning, 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern time. The best part is it's simply totally free. So just go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. It supports our show, keeps us doing what we're doing here. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. Hey, let's check the markets here before we get to our top story. And a lot of movement over the weekend on Bitcoin. Bitcoin skyrocketing. I mean, up 10%, almost about to hit that 40,000 level. Could have a little bit of a retest before I decide to buy in on this at like the 37,000 level. But holy smokes. 39,000 could be pushing that $40,000 level. Bitcoin surging and it actually hitting that higher high for the first time. That's huge. And Bitcoin got a big boost yesterday after Elon Musk said that Tesla would accept Bitcoin transactions again once that miners started using reasonable amounts of clean energy. Still, it's significantly back on. It's still well below its $64,000 high. And its sibling, Ethereum, also. Still struggling a little bit to get back to its highs down below. Gold, silver, a little bit down as well, $1,827 on silver. But overall, the markets this morning up pretty significantly on the Dow, the S&P, all of it pretty much up on some good market news. Meanwhile, let's get to our top story this morning. President Biden is in Brussels. He's in Brussels, Belgium. President Biden there for the big NATO meeting that's following his successful G7 trip to England. The House of Representatives also returns today after a three-week absence, and things are about to get busy really fast. There's some huge issues that Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer will have to deal with, along with President Joe Biden, that should go a long way to trying to decide exactly the direction of the 117th Congress. And we'll get to all of that in a moment. But first, this is stimulus week. I mean, this is all eyes on stimulus week. And if you can believe it, there are actually 8 infrastructure bills. I was going to put up one hand and say there are 8, but that's 5. There's actually 8 infrastructure bills floating around out there right now. Though none of them appears to, at this moment, have any of the votes needed to pass into law. So what the heck is President Biden going to do? Well, last week, I nearly fell out of my chair laughing at the proposal that was sent over by the so-called bipartisan group of senators. You remember on Friday, a Senate gang of 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats, which, by the way, if you're keeping track at home, is still 5 Republicans shy of what they'd actually need to get it passed. and their Republican friends basically saying they're not going to pass anything anyway. Why are they even bothering? They passed, they handled out this this proposal and their own agreement on a real, they call it a realistic compromise framework to modernize our nation's infrastructure and energy technologies. It's, as they say, worth over $1.2 trillion over 8 years, although according to its statement, only $579 billion would be new spending. And there is, as of yet, no breakdown of the spending side, though they say it's all traditional infrastructure. And on the revenue side, the gang has already ruled out any tax increases, which is how Biden proposed to fund the spending. So they're not going to increase taxes. They want to use COVID money to pay for it. So they want to take money that's designated for the pandemic, which is still drastically needed in so many parts of the country right now. And they're going to redistribute that money into infrastructure. There's so many laughable things in this bill that are infuriating to me as a progressive, and it just goes to show you how it's all being led by a group of Wall Street-run corporate senators who have zero interest in helping you. And one of the most laughable pieces of this legislation is a tax on electric vehicles. This piece blew me away. I just couldn't believe she said this yesterday. This is Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, trying to explain the rationale for taxing electric vehicles. Let's listen to Susan Collins make this case.
Third, there would be a provision for electric vehicles to pay their fair share of using our roads and bridges. Right now, they are literally free riders because they're not paying any gas tax. So those are three of the provisions that we've taken a look at.
They're free riders. You guys are freeloaders, all you electric vehicle owners out there. So just to be clear, back in 2019, she, Susan Collins, joined a group of bipartisan senators in proposing a bill to expand the tax credit for electric cars. Since she said at the time, they are better for the environment.
Boy, they really, really, really hate tree huggers, don't they? If they pay their employees too much, they're tree huggers. If they, you know, don't contribute to gas, they're tree huggers.
I mean, do you see the ridiculousness, the irony? Like, so, wait a second. Your electric vehicle is so good for the environment. It's you're a free rider. You're not paying. You're not using fossil fuels. So we're going to tax you.
Does that come out of the tax credit you get for going electric?
Right. So you get a tax credit for going electric to encourage and incentivize getting off of fossil fuels, therefore reducing America's carbon footprint. Now, Susan Collins has joined a bipartisan group of senators to propose a tax on electric cars to fund an infrastructure bill because of how they don't pay the gas tax. Yes, that's the answer, Susan. Don't tax the rich, tax responsible people who care about the planet and who own electric cars.
You know what they could do, Clayton? They could actually make the oil and gas companies pay something in taxes instead of giving them, you know.
Don't be silly.
Well, I mean.
No, we cannot possibly raise taxes on wealthy people and big businesses. We can't do it. You can't. Let's don't be ridiculous.
Forget. Sorry, this is Philip chiming in here, but let's not forget those freeloading bicycles and you know, rollerbladers and skateboarders. I mean, come on.
They're all freeloaders. They only care about the environment. We should tax them because they care about the environment. Maybe they could find a way to retrofit their bicycles and put gasoline in them.
Well, I mean, they have to have money for the subsidies for the gas and oil companies. I mean, where else are they going to get those subsidies?
Yeah. I mean, why not? And here's the idea. How about this? Maybe this would make her happy. We get people on bicycles, retrofit them with gasoline, stop at McDonald's and have lunch, and then take that big bag of trash and just throw it on the side of the street. They're not freeloading anymore. They're contributing to harming the environment even more. They're gas guzzling and they're littering. And they could be smoking too while they're eating. and they could be throwing their cigarette butts out. How about more tax cuts for oil companies? No? Yeah, let's give them more great ideas from the GOP. I mean, come on. I got to listen to this again. This is literally her idea. This is a bipartisan group of corporate Republicans and Democrats that came together that gave us a giant pile of crap for infrastructure stimulus. And one of their solutions is to tax electric car users because they don't pay taxes in gas.
And third, there would be a provision for electric vehicles to pay their fair share of using our roads and bridges. Right now, they are literally free riders because they're not paying any gas tax. So those are three of the provisions that we've taken a look at.
Yeah, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You should be ashamed of yourselves for helping the environment. We're going to tax you for that. So until this all gets unraveled, Infrastructure Week will keep going and going and going. No stopping Infrastructure Week. No stopping stimulus. The president, again, in Brussels has to come back and deal with eight different versions of this bill right now. Why are they even waiting on Republicans?
You know,
does he have any votes? Does he have enough votes to even get this through if he doesn't get, like, he doesn't do it through Congress? I mean, that's the question. Just Joe Manchin? Did Joe Manchin in my thumbnail today, like, he's driving this narrative.
It would make more sense to tax, like, if you tax corporations where people have to get to their location. So, you know, most of the roads and bridges are used for people getting back and forth to work. That's the majority of traffic. So those companies, right, like, give them a tax to offset that. It could be minuscule, but it could still, if as long as it went to infrastructure, it could be minuscule.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you want, like, Bank of America, 60,000 employees that are heading back to the office. Okay. Well, you know what? Since they're not paying anything in taxes, since Amazon's not paying anything in taxes, why don't we actually do something about it? That's why, at least this, you know, I will say that President Biden going on this big G7 meeting with the G7 countries, and they agreed to this 15% minimum tax, at least minimum 15%, needs to be finalized. It has to go through Congress and so forth. But great, great, finally. You know, level the playing field here. Get these businesses actually not hiding offshore in Ireland and other places and actually paying their fair share.
Well, and that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that the proposed way to pay for the infrastructure bill is a gas tax on us.
Yeah, right. But no, but if you've got a bicycle, Philip, or maybe, you know, like a big wheel or like a unicycle, hey, we might want to tax you now because you're environmentally friendly.
Well, I'm feeling really guilty about all those years I used my bicycle as my primary commuter. I mean, now I'm like, have I been a freeloader this whole time?
You've been a freeloader.
I'm sorry, everybody. I publicly apologize for biking to work.
According to Susan Collins, you are a freeloader.
Well, yeah. I'm going to go buy a big old dually diesel.
Yeah, weekend. Buy a Hummer. Go buy a Hummer. Yeah. Brother. Hey, I don't know if you know, but this was one of the most, I found this, I'm not surprised at all, but this morning, this is one of the top trending topics in the world. Number 8 on the list. By the way, it's behind number 7 on the list, Westminster Dog Show, but if you're listening to the audio version of this, number 8 on the most trending Google search in the world is, when is Father's Day? That just goes to show you how little people pay attention to us. When is Father's Day? It's one of the top trending Google searches, literally yesterday. People are, oh crap, wait a minute, is that tomorrow? I better figure this out. Well, I'm going to tell you about our friends over at Ultimate Ears. The folks at Logitech make these amazing, most world's comfortable earbuds, perfect for Father's Day. Premium sound, all day comfort. You got a guaranteed perfect fit in 60 seconds. And the way that this works is the molding experience, they send it to you and it actually molds to your ear. Now, I did this and I was blown away by it. You put it in your ear and it starts to gently warm up as the light hardens them to the shape of your ear. So they don't fall out. They're the perfect fit for you, not somebody else, not a mass-produced version. And then after about 60 seconds, it hardens and you'll never have to worry about it again. And it's unbelievable. You can work. I mean, I've used it on my phone, working out, listening to music. I mean, the first thing I listened to when I listened to with my ultimate ears was Miles Davis' album, Kinda Blue. It's my go-to, one of my favorite jazz albums of all time. It uses groundbreaking light form technology. Ultimate Ears fits mold to the unique contours of your ear. Put them in, connect to the app, and watch the purple LEDs form the earbuds to your unique shape. Perfect for Father's Day. And if you try fits and you don't love them as much as I do, no worries. Ultimate Ears offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. Plus, you'll get free shipping, free returns, and a one-year warranty. For a limited time, get 15% off your pair of Ultimate Ears Fits True Wireless Earbuds. If you go to ue.com/fits, it's right on your screen. U, the letter U, E, the letter E, ue.com/fits, F-I-T-S, and use the promo code INVEST at checkout, you'll get 15% off when you use that code INVEST. That's ue.com/fits. They know when Father's Day is. Come on, people. To Google that. Most calendars even have it built right in, don't they? Where it says, like, you know, it says Christmas, it says Flag Day, it says Mother's Day. Maybe they don't even put Father's Day on the list. Maybe they're like, it's not even there.
Yeah.
You have to Google it to figure it out. I'm trying to think what I want for Father's Day. I don't know.
Peace and quiet?
Peace and quiet. Actually, I am going to be going away for Father's Day. So for Mother's Day, we got my wife a little trip to go away for the weekend. She's like, you know what? I just want to sleep in and not have a four-year-old wake me up at 6:45 in the morning. Like, Eve comes into our bed at like 4 a.m. and she's like, hey, I brought this poppet and this thing to play with just in case I get bored. And so she'll sit right by our ear and she's like playing with like jingly stuff. And we're like, Eve, please, please go back to your cage. Who unlocked your cage in the middle of the night? More news to get to this morning. Unemployment benefits. This is a really troubling story. I've been bothered by this. I think we've been talking about this now on the show for a few weeks. Unemployment benefits. States are getting rid of those unemployment benefits faster than Biden has been giving in to Republicans. Come on, man. I'm sorry. So Iowans, here's an example of like these state unemployment benefits. Iowans are losing federal unemployment benefits and they're trying to figure out what to do. This is just one state. I mean, this is just one state, but the list is long. James Kennedy of Mount Vernon had a plan to get back to doing what he loves. He and his wife ran a music teaching studio for 35 years and performs at concerts. But the money Kennedy was planning on using to jumpstart his business will soon stop arriving. We have no funding to get to that point at all, he said, to get the business back up and running.
I thought that was Bob Weir when I first saw it.
Yeah. He's still running the Grateful Dead, huh? Yeah. Does look right. But he can't open a studio. And their state unemployment benefits are running out on June 12th. They're going. Most of them are all Republican. Well, they're all Republican-run states. Governor Kim Reynolds and a number of other Republican leaders across the nation have made the case that cutting off benefits will accelerate businesses' ability to rebound from the pandemic. Why would we allow the federal government to hamper our economic recovery by paying out potential workers to stay at home? Which I think we've now put the kibosh on this story enough so that, you know, again, it's not that people are choosing not to work. It's that many of those jobs have disappeared altogether, have closed, or they were crappy, low-paying jobs where, you know, they're terrible working environment. We highlighted the meatpacking plant where there was a recent round in Alabama, where at the meatpacking plant, that was the epicenter of where people were getting COVID at that particular meatpacking plant because they didn't put in proper PPE. They didn't take proper precautions to make sure that their employees are safe. Shocking. And there's all, of course, a push to make sure that people are not getting food stamps and SNAP program benefits as well. More than two dozen Republican governors have now pulled their states out of the pandemic-related federal unemployment programs. And one of their arguments they're making is that the benefits are preventing people from going back to work. Well, arguments like that have been made against other social safety net programs as well before the pandemic. They are why able-bodied adults who, without dependents, are required to work in order to receive the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, or food stamps. But a new study from the National Bureau of Labor Economic Research finds that those requirements for nutrition assistance don't lead to more people working. So you're cutting off food stamps to people. The research found that no evidence that people are any more likely to start working than when they lose those SNAP benefits. If the goal is to encourage people to work, then it's not a policy that is working as intended. And on top of that, work requirements are indeed a direct cause of many people leaving the SNAP program. Almost a quarter of the people who are in SNAP end up losing their SNAP benefits as a direct result of a working requirement implementation. Adults who are homeless are most likely to lose their food assistance. This is also a population that obviously has their own barriers to obtaining housing. Some of those barriers may also prevent them from joining the workforce. Thanks to these states that are cutting off unemployment benefits. I mean, how many of you right now watching are dealing with unemployment, and are you just being lazy? You just want to stay home, and that's the reason these businesses are struggling to find skilled workers. What about this? Here's an idea. Why not incentivize employment? Why not find ways to bring new blood into your offices? You know, hey, maybe higher salaries. That's one idea. Maybe some sort of a smarter healthcare program or some sort of bonuses. I'm just throwing out different ideas. What about making sure that there's a living wage? What about like the thing that Dan Price did? Remember we talked about him out of Seattle when he increased the minimum wage for his employees to $70,000 minimum salary? Yeah, the tree hugger that all those Republicans and everyone on Fox News was mocking. Well, he's had record profits as a result of it. Record profits. Minimum salary, $70,000. Imagine what people could do with that money. Imagine what that would be, life-changing, where people could invest. They could put money into the people's currency. They could choose to be. I mean, hey, here's an idea. What if businesses decide to like pay with crypto as a way of elevating people away from the U.S. dollar? Wouldn't that be revelatory? Like, hey, you know, instead of paying you with U.S. dollars, which are losing value every day, we're going to pay you with the people's currency. You have a choice: Bitcoin, Ethereum. What about that? What about stock options, like all those C-level executives get, right? But instead, no, let's take away your unemployment benefits. And by the way, the people that are going to be hurt are the SNAP benefits program are the people who are homeless and the people who are, you know, don't have a means to get back to work. Just take away all that money. What is Colton Mayfield says, trying to get it here on my screen, sorry. Yeah, I know you were being facetious, but what you said was absolutely right. You can't tax the rich, at least not any more than they want to pay. Yeah, unfortunately. It's the sad part, isn't it? Like, you know, they're going to figure out ways around it. I mean, unless we get a global minimum standard where they can't hide and create a new, you know, put a new office in Ireland in order to pay those, you know, to avoid paying taxes. If Ireland now has to stand with the rest of the world and says 15%, that's the way it's going to be. Shannon says, I've been unemployed since February. Many of these jobs find me overqualified due to my education level. So that's amazing. Like, you're overqualified, but we're hearing that it's because you're lazy. We cannot find work because you're lazy. But here I'm an overqualified individual. I'm applying for this job. I would like to work. You're overqualified. You're overqualified for this work. Garbage. Why do the rich pay less than the poor in taxes? It's simple, Tyler. Because Tyler asked a good question. Why do the rich pay less? It's because the tax code is written to benefit them. It's a series of incentives. The tax code is this thick. And only the first few pages of the tax code, if you read it, are actually meant for you to send money to the government. The rest of the tax code is written as a series of incentives for business owners. It's a series of incentives that let them get tax loopholes, and not loopholes, but incentives. Hey, you're a solar company. You're an oil and gas company. Great. Here's how you get all these write-offs. Here's how you get all these deductions. Here's how you get money back. That's how they pay less in taxes. The tax code is written to benefit them. And so we want a massive infrastructure bill, and we have no way of paying for it. I mean, we are going to be heading for an economic collapse if we can't figure out a way to tax the wealthy in order to at least fund this, pull back money on defense spending. I mean, there's got to be a way to do this. Yeah, it's heartbreaking. And, you know, most of the people, I just hate this picture of this, that it's just lazy people. Like, here's a guy looking to open up his music studio again to do music teaching. And the amount of money that it's going to take, like, they were planning on this money to open up that business again. And they're not going to be able to do it now that it's going to be shut down on June 12th. So all these states moving in that direction.
Well, and I think it's kind of funny that they call us lazy for this stuff, yet aren't they on vacation? They hem-haw around. They don't do anything. They take days off all the time. Like, if anything, Congress and Senate are, like, they're the lazy ones. They don't ever want to do anything.
Yeah, well, they're on vacation right now for 3 weeks. They just got back today. Yeah, they're always working hard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these guys are always working hard. They're working hard for corporate America. You know, the bipartisan group of senators reached an agreement on infrastructure proposal. Yeah. No tax increases, though, for the wealthy. And we're going to remove anything that really resembles, you know, stimulus for the American people. So we're, you know, anything, oh, child care, nah. We're just going to focus on roads and bridges. That's what we're going to do. By the way, we had some breaking news here just a moment ago, and I want to bring it to you, which is this, which I didn't think I'd see this anytime soon. Actually, I did think I'd see this sometime too. Bitcoin just passed 40,000, up 12%. Pretty big deal. Bitcoin, the big of the people's currency, passing 40,000. Now it's at 40,500 on its way up. This was the moment, folks. We're waiting to see if this is going to retest. You know, this is where a lot of people buy into Bitcoin right now. People jump into this currency right now. These are the people that were, like, on the sidelines. This is the herd that's going to be jumping in here. So be careful. Like, I'm not a financial advisor, but I will tell you, like, if you're thinking about jumping in right now, wait till there's a little bit of a retest, in my opinion. Maybe it falls back down to 37, 38, and then it goes to 46. That's when you buy in. Right now, this is all the fear of missing out people that are jumping in, but that's good news. Good news is the U.S. dollar continues to crap the bed. And look, the Fed is going to have to deal with this right now. So the Fed is meeting tomorrow, where they're going to have to pencil in possibly earlier rate increases because there are big concerns about what's happening right now in this economy and big concerns about what's happening to the U.S. dollar and inflation, the price of everything, of course, going up. When we saw the consumer prices going up 2.4% in the fourth quarter, we now saw it go up 5%, 5% in May. That's a 4.2% increase in the 12 months through April. So I'm sure you're seeing all of that. Again, this is a good, I mean, when you see this happening, when inflation is rising, and then to me, there's a clear path here. The government's printing money, they're continuing to bail out Wall Street. And here you have the people's currency of Bitcoin and crypto taking off again. To me, it's a clear line. It's a clear parallel between these two. So good signs there. We've got more news to get to, including this story I wanted to talk about, which is Blue Origin. I'm sure you guys know what's going on here. Jeff Bezos managed to do it. He successfully auctioned off an extra seat on his Blue Origin rocket for $28 million. The person who won this seat asked to be anonymous. The person is going to join Jeff Bezos and his brother for the first human flight in just a few weeks. And just to be clear, just want to be clear on what when we talk about businesses and how all of this comes together. So I'm being a little facetious here. We're supposed to be cheering this guy on, getting on a flight with his brother. And by the way, did you watch that cheesy video that he did with his brother? It's like, brother, you want to go to space with me? Brother, you want to go to space with me? It's been my dream to build a rocket and go to space. Meanwhile, you know, we have a trouble paying our employees like a living wage and making sure they're not peeing in Snapple bottles in our warehouses. And we control all of the media narratives in the country. We own the Washington Post. We want to buy up as much of the media as we can so we control the narrative, because I'm tired of all these negative stories about me.
And just so you know, I wanted to remain anonymous because I didn't want people to know that I had that kind of money.
And you paid with $28 million in Monopoly money, right?
Well,
Doge.
Some of it, yeah. I couldn't find enough Monopoly money to do that, but
It was noble of you, though. I mean, it was noble of you to remain anonymous. I could see why. I mean, so you win this auction. We're going to find out who you are eventually, right? You're not going to be kept anonymous on this flight. We're going to find out who you are, unless somehow...
It's the unknown comic.
Right.
Shows up with a bag over his head. Oh, man.
Well, what David doesn't know is it was actually me that put up the money to send my brother into space, so...
That's so kind of you.
Have fun.
With Bezos.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how this, you know, I wouldn't want to be the first on this thing. Like, here's your first trip to outer space. Yeah, put the CEO of this company on here. But just to be clear, we are giving, so you don't understand, if you don't understand what we're doing with Blue Origin, we're giving them a $10 billion bailout to its owner, Jeff Bezos, who is worth $194 billion. So he can sell tickets to go to space for $28 million. Let me repeat. We, the United States taxpayers, are giving Blue Origin a $10 billion bailout. So its owner, Jeff Bezos, who's worth $194 billion, can then sell tickets, and the media will go and cover it, by the way, right? The media was all over it with cameras and everything. They wanted to cover this press conference. He's selling tickets in the auction for $28 million. But we have a problem with $300 a week in unemployment benefits. So here is what's going on. The Senate is preparing a $10 billion bailout for Jeff Bezos' space firm. It lost its bid for a major NASA contract to Elon Musk. But the Senate is ordering the agency to give a second one now. Yeah, now that Bezos' space flight company Blue Origin has lost a multi-billion dollar contract to Elon Musk, Congress is prepping the groundwork for Bezos to win a contract anyway, ordering NASA to make not one, but two awards. The order would come through the Endless Frontier Act, a bill to beef up resources for science and technology research. And basically, an amendment was added to the legislation by Senator Maria Cantwell, a Democrat out of Washington, Washington State, home of Amazon, to hand over $10 billion to NASA. Money that will go most likely to Blue Origin, a company that's headquarters in Cantwell's home state. Bernie Sanders has tried to step in and eliminate the $10 billion. He says, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that we would provide billions of dollars to a company owned by one of the wealthiest guy in America. There's some good pile of hypocrisy, right? Love it. So Bezos, I guess, you know, a lot of people, this is how it all works. We can just crank out $10 billion to a company that he uses. I mean, don't make no mistake about it. Blue Origin is a company that he uses in order to not pay taxes, basically. By creating a company that has such a huge loss leader as a rocket company, he can offset all of the profits that he makes from Amazon, right? So he pays nothing in taxes. So we're going to give him $10 billion? Okay.
Is that what he's going to name his mega yacht, Blue Origin?
Blue Origin. No, it'll be taxpayers bought me this.
Name it Write Off.
Write Off. We got more news to get to in just a second here, but I want to tell you about our other sponsor today, our friends over at IP Vanish. Look, it's never been more important, folks. I mean, literally, this is no joke. Didn't David, you sent me a message yesterday and said someone hacked your Instagram account, right? Someone actually spoofed my account, did a whole bunch of craziness. Anyway, it's never been more important today than it is right now to create a virtual private network to make sure that when you're surfing the internet, you're safely browsing the internet. People aren't tracking you. You know, when you're streaming media, if you're using your phone, your tablet, your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching for, what you're watching, what you're doing is all protected. It's important because what you're doing on the internet is no one else's business but yours. IP Vanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. IP Vanish is offering an incredible 65% off right now. It's just $3.49 for the first month or $31.49 for the year. All you need to do, I mean, here's what's great about it. You're going to get an anonymous IP address. That means your personal IP address can't be tracked. Circumvent any online censorship. IP Vanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70 locations. You'll get protection when using public Wi-Fi. Remember, when IP Vanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. They have 24/7 support. Email them, chat with them, call them. They're there to help. Go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest. It's right there on your screen. Claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49 or $31.49 a year. It's time to sign up right now. With our discount and their current promotional offerings, you can get a VPN for 65% off your usual offerings. IP Vanish is the best of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That's with more than 6,000 reviews. Show these guys some love, everyone. They're repeat sponsors of our show. Remember, it's ipvanish.com/morninginvest to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. We thank them for their support of Morning Invest. And by the way, if you're new here, let me know if you're new here. Say I'm new, drop a comment below and smash our subscribe button. We do this show live every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So we cover the news that you won't see covered other places. You know, we're not in favor of Wall Street walking all over people. That's what this show is all about. Okay, more news to get to today. And I wanted to talk about this. Speaking of space. So my son had an idea the other day. I don't know if you like, you know, we were taking a walk. My son and I were going to the market together to pick up some vegetables and stuff for the week. And we're walking along, having a little conversation, and it was hot. And my son just out of the blue says, "Daddy, I have an idea. I have an idea about how we might be able to stop climate change." I said, "Okay, yeah, I want to hear this. You know, I think a lot of people would love to hear this." And he said, "What if we had less gravity? Like, what if we could jump really high?" And he's 10. You know, he said, "What if we could jump really high?" I'm like, "Okay, so how would this work?" He said, "Well, if we could jump really high, maybe we could go up in the atmosphere, we'd jump. Would that help us in any way with climate change?" And I was like, I don't know. Can you guys think of any reason? Like, how would that actually, would that work? Like, you could jump really high and tackle climate change. He said, "Maybe we could jump really high and like use bags to capture like bad stuff in the atmosphere." I'm like, okay. I think it needs to start on Earth though first, right? Like, I think that's kind of treating the symptom rather than like the source, right? You know, he's like, "Yeah, I don't know, but if we could jump really high, I think like we could do something, you know? If we could alter Earth's gravity somehow, we might be able to stop climate change." So, well, you know, keep working on this idea. Well, it turns out he's not alone. Yeah, Louis Gohmert, the Republican out of Texas, congressman, has the same freaking idea. I wish I was making this up. I'm not. So Louis Gohmert, in a hearing just this week, had, and I can't believe I was able to find this. This is what he asked about climate change. "Here's how we could stop climate change. All we need to do is just move the Earth a little bit."
"And I understand from what's been testified to the Forest Service and the BLM, you want very much to work on the issue of climate change. I was informed by the immediate past director of NASA that they have found that the moon's orbit is changing slightly, and so is the Earth's orbit around the sun. We know there's been significant solar flare activity. And so is there anything that the National Forest Service or BLM can do to change the course of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun? Obviously, that would have profound effects on our climate.
Yeah. I mean,
I would have to follow up with you on that one, Mr. Gohmert.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you figure out a way that you in the Forest Service can make that change, I'd like to know.
Yeah. So the Forest Service, to be clear, which is in charge of like Smokey the Bear, right?
Who you can now legally paint with a cigarette in his mouth thanks to the latest
legislation.
Package.
Yeah. So this is brilliant. I mean, can we do something to like, I don't know, move the moon? Does the Forest Service have the ability to move the moon? Can you just go up there and like kick it? Or maybe, hey, we can all kick Earth somehow? Like do something?
Now you remember, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna swing and put a lasso around and pull the moon down for you, Mary.
Right. Was it like Jim Carrey, like in Bruce Almighty when he pulls the moon closer with the thing?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, can we just move the Earth?
If we could just get everybody on the left side of Earth to push really, really hard, we should be able to do this. But only on the left side.
Can the Forest Service...
The bottom, Philip, it's flat, you remember?
Yeah, yeah. Can you guys all stand on the bottom of the Earth and jump? All stand there to see, like, well, let's all try it right now. Ready? Let's all get up. Let's all get up right now and try to... And see if we can make the Earth move. See if we can do this.
Okay, here we go.
Ready?
I did not feel anything.
I think we just solved climate change.
Good job, everybody. We can take the rest of the day off.
Way to go, everybody. I mean, the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management, like this is right in their wheelhouse. He should be calling up. Why doesn't he call up like Michael Bay and ask if like Bruce Willis and guys are able to like move an asteroid around Earth or something? So my 10-year-old son wasn't that far off. Literally, Congress is thinking about the same crap right now. But he himself is not concerned about such dangerous myths, of course. Remember, he's talked about climate change, he's basically said it doesn't exist. Okay, but you want to move the moon, so could all the federal agencies just bang on the moon a little bit, or maybe change the entire Earth's orbit to get it away from these solar flares? Maybe if they just grunted real hard and tipped the Earth off its axis, that would work. Let me know in the comments. Thank you, Louis Gohmert, for your continuing work to America, keeping us strong, and educated. Yeah. Well, Bitcoin keeps climbing, folks. Bitcoin keeps climbing as the government continues to print money. Is it any wonder? You know, we just had Paul Tudor Jones, who's one of the most famous investors in the history of Earth. Just came out a few minutes ago saying that he invests in Bitcoin and that he believes in math and he believes in the power of the people's currency. More and more, it's starting to take hold. And we had a big story in the newsletter today about the Federal Reserve tackling the U.S. dollar. I encourage you all to go read the newsletter. But basically, the Federal Reserve is now going to have to take this issue on. We hope tomorrow during their meeting, we are going to hear, number one, about inflation, but also number two, about the U.S. dollar, digital currency, where it could really affect Americans who are unbanked, who don't have access, they don't have the address, they might be homeless, they don't have access to normal banking procedure. I mean, it's difficult to get a bank account in the United States. And so the Fed apparently is ramping up efforts now as China and other countries around the world are rolling out their digital currency. So tomorrow at the Fed meeting, look for that. We'll have a full coverage on it tomorrow on the show, for sure.
Can I just, somebody just brought up a really good point. Ann Andrews, like, we actually pay that guy $175,000 a year to come up with ideas like that.
Right.
And a $30,000 furniture budget. That has nothing to do with the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, Louis. This is who makes 170. Actually, I think by now he makes more than that. Louis Gohmert's been there. He's institutionalized. By the way, every time I would interview Louis Gohmert, he would come into our studios. He would always bring like tchotchkes that he would get from the House of Representatives offices, like Christmas ornaments and like gold pens that said House of Representatives on them, and like coins and things like that. And he would just give them to us. And I'm like, I don't want more of this crap. And by the way, taxpayers are paying for this. I don't want these tchotchkes.
Of the moon's orbit or the Earth's orbit around the sun, obviously they would have profound effects on our climate.
Yeah, can we just move the moon? I'm going to show this video to my son. My son's going to be like, why didn't I think of that? I thought about jumping high. We should move the moon, Daddy. Can we try that? Yeah, I'm going to get right on that. But you know who the best agency to handle that is? The Forest Service.
Not NASA.
Right, you know, not NASA.
Let's not go to the people who've actually been to space. Let's talk to forestry.
That's like, I couldn't think of a worse agency than the Forest Service to deal with questions about the moon.
Well, can you think of one? You got to follow this logic, because what looks like a rocket? A tree. Who knows more about trees? The Forest Service. Bam.
Who's constantly dealing with forest fires? And those trees are exploding on a regular basis. They've got to know about the moon. I honestly cannot think of a worse agency. I even think the education's the department. Department of Education would be better.
Yeah, because they'd have been like, you need to go to NASA.
Right. They'd be like, no, we just help kids get educated and create terrible school lunch program standards. We classify ketchup as a vegetable. That's what our job is. You need to go over some of those other agencies over there.
Yeah, get the FDA in on it too. Why not?
Right. They might even be better equipped to handle it. Here's one more story I wanted to get to this morning, which is I thought this is a really interesting look at what's going on about commuting to work. So the Atlantic had a pretty thought-provoking piece over the weekend about the psychological benefits of commuting to work. And I throw this out to you here.
Freeloaders,
would you say that commuting to work is helpful to you? Like, would you say that you mentally benefit from commuting 2 hours to and from work? Like, the drudgery of going to the train station, dealing with all, you know, being crammed in there. When I would go into Manhattan, oh my God, on the New Jersey Transit, and being crammed in there, especially if you didn't get a seat, which was all the time. So you're standing the whole time, rocking back and forth, trying to, I don't know, read the news on your phone, listening to a podcast, crammed in against all these people. And then half the time it would shut down, so it was never on time. Then from there, then I got to take a subway, or from there I got to take a bus or whatever to get to 30 Rock in the middle of Manhattan area. Or just 2 hours stuck in traffic, you know, an hour there, an hour back. Like, is this mentally beneficial to you? Well, according to new research, apparently during the pandemic, something bizarre happened, they say. For many of us, the scourge we'd spent a lifetime bad-mouthing as a tedious time waster went away. And essential workers have continued to brave the roads and rails, sometimes suffering truly punishing commute times. But then something happened. Many people who had not were liberated from this commute experienced a void that they can't quite name. And they say in all theaters of life, it collapsed into one. There was no beginning or ending. Basically, the hero's journey, the Joseph Campbell hero's journey, never happens, I guess. The threshold goes uncrossed. So all of it. Basically, no commute may be hurting, not helping remote worker productivity. They said that at Microsoft, for instance, after-hours chats were up 69% among the users of the company's messaging platform, and workers were less engaged and far more exhausted. In its pre-pandemic heyday, we very narrowly thought of the commute as doing one job, getting us to and from our place of work, but clearly the commute was doing something more, something that we failed to appreciate, that it was actually helping us. So if it's 27 minutes or whatever it happens to be, those 60 minutes is what people, like, it's something that they have to endure, not something they actually desire, but it's something that actually, gives them, a sense of purpose somehow. I don't know. Do you buy this argument? I could see it, although I've been working from home and I love it. Like, I don't want to deal with an hour commute back and forth, but I could get the idea, I have to go through the drudgery. I got to stop at the Starbucks, get my coffee. I got to sit in an hour of traffic. I got to listen, I got to weave in and out of traffic. And it's like a bit of an adventure to get me to the office.
If I didn't have to deal with traffic, I wouldn't mind it. Like, if I had a half hour drive, but no traffic, through the Pacific Northwest, getting my coffee, that was always my head time to kind of think and think about the day. Where a lot of times working from home, I just get up and I go start working and I don't get that head time to listen to music and just kind of relax. So when I worked construction, I kind of saw that as my relaxation time. So I did like that, but traffic, I'm like falling down. I'm borderline Michael Douglas at that point.
Yeah. Traffic for me, I get I don't get road ragey. But if I have to pee or something and I'm just I'm planning on getting somewhere at a certain time and suddenly I get stuck, New Jersey traffic is the worst. California's awful traffic. I mean, you know how it is. I guess in and around the Seattle area, I've never, just awful. But they said the reason was, it was not that they wished for a longer commute. It's that they felt in control of their own car. And it was a plan. It was a place where they could plan. They could decompress. They could make phone calls. They could listen to an audio book. I mean, we saw podcast numbers plummeting during the pandemic because people just weren't listening to podcasts. They didn't have that commute. Audiobook listening went down. So people were just kind of like, I don't have to go anywhere. What am I doing anymore? I don't want to listen to this stuff. I think it's an interesting thought. It's sort of like, I like the contrarian angle on this.
And honestly, I think I probably wouldn't mind traffic so much if I could roll my windows down and not smell gas fumes the whole time. That's the one thing that really drives me crazy is I can't have my windows down when I'm in that much traffic because I just am really sensitive to that gas smell.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know who likes that gas smell. I think Elaine on Seinfeld did, didn't she? She was like, I love it. I can't stand that smell.
Yeah, no, that'll give me a headache if I smell it too long.
Yeah. Or commute on, as Brenda says, commute on icy roads, 160 miles a day sucks. My daughter-in-law will be doing that this winter. Yeah, it's enough. Sunny says, I like the gas smell. See, there must be something genetic, you must love the smell of gas, where others are just oh, that's awful. Maybe it's cilantro, some people are into that and so others just find it repugnant. I don't know.
I love cilantro. I think that's my favorite spice.
Yeah, others they get really angry about it.
Oh, I had a guy that he thought it tasted like soap, and he would literally freak out if you talked about cilantro.
he would freak out.
Yeah, he would just be like, "Nah, that stuff is blah blah blah."
Life's too short.
Chill, man. It's just a spice.
Life is just too short. Too short. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. I did want to show you this, though. I don't know if you guys caught this.
A lot of really.
So the Westminster Dog Show was yesterday. And did you see who won? So I love how, listen in. They're like the judge. The judge is walking around. They're all freaking out.
Keeping their nerves in check. I can tell you from experience in this moment.
Their heart's probably pounding.
Their heart is pounding out of your chest. I would say Mrs. Penta's heart is probably pounding right now.
Too. I'd be freaking pounding. If she was judging me, she looks like she Westminster.
And of course, your emotions as a handler go right down the lead. Here we go. She's making a cut.
She's got the Pomeranian and the Pekingese.
Wow. This is heartbreaking. I mean, it's
get out of here, Pekingese.
Pekingese
have the most toy
Japanese
wins.
Chin.
No,
there's the Japanese chin.
Let's see if she's gonna pull a few more out.
Who's gonna win?
She's got the requisite five.
Five.
Now, is there anyone else that you think belongs in that group that just
I really liked that Maltese.
I did too, and I like the Papillon. I have to say I'm a Papillon lover, but it looks like that one's not
okay. English Toy Spaniel.
Chihuahua.
A Chihuahua, yay.
Who's it
go,
gonna be?
Chihuahua. Go, go, Chihuahua.
So time does a judge. You wish you had more ribbons. I'm sure that's what she's thinking.
I'm sure, but I think this might be it.
Dean Thomas says, I think it's weird when the judge grabs the dog's balls. Does that happen?
Now she'll take them in a small circle. Of course, the rest
Dean,
of
you know a lot about this judge.
What if they don't have any?
She's watching for this Pekingese. He doesn't have the requisite roll. She'll look like goldfish.
That does not look like a dog.
That's what we talk about with the Pekingese. The short-backed Pomeranian. The springy gait of the Havanese. There's that beautiful little athlete from the Italian Greyhound keeping its shape in motion.
I'm going to tell you, when I walk her over, he does not this well behaved.
Whoa, I need let to the take dog him. Walk. Holy cow. It's like picking it up by its neck.
Russell's Griffon, sturdy little worker.
And now Miss Penta is going to take one more look. She stands back.
Here we go.
Before making,
here we go.
Gonna pull and put them in.
Can you feel the anticipation?
She's going to go with a visceral reaction here because there's no wrong decision. Something's going to strike her in a moment, and that's when she's going to lift her finger to point.
Come on, who's it going to be?
Sir?
Pekingese.
He won!
Wasabi.
Pomeranian. Wasabi. There it is.
I'm
we feature
her. I'm here with David, still primping the dog. I know that you have been.
Does that even look like a dog?
No.
That is. That is the winner, Wasabi.
First of all,
he does look like a goldfish. Like,
yeah, I don't know what that is. That is
he looks really
dog.
Thrilled. He's like, what is that?
It looks like Cousin It.
It does.
I think it looks like something Jim Henson came up with.
Yeah. Right, like out of the Dark Crystal or something.
It should
right?
be going. Wah, wah.
Like out of a labyrinth. I don't know. Looking around for Grover, but I couldn't. Yeah.
That dog probably lives a very sad life.
Well, he's the number one. He's the best in show. He's the best in show. Wasabi. Wasabi, there it is. And that's going to do it for Morning Invest on this Monday. I hope you guys had a wonderful show along with us. If you're new here, please, smash that subscribe button. Join us. We do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, covering the news that they won't cover other places. Bringing you the market updates, making sure that you are taken care of and not Wall Street. This Bitcoin still hovers around that 40,500 range. Interesting times. We'll see how high this goes. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you, Philip, for stepping in there while David's internet is crapping the bed again.
I'm always glad to do it.
And thank you, David. Stop futzing with your internet.
I'm not futzing with it anymore. I'm going to hire a professional. I'm done.
That's good. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing to the show. Be sure to grab our daily newsletter, which we publish Monday through Friday. Just go to morninginvest.com and subscribe. Delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. Peace, everyone. Hope you have a great day.